Hebrews 10:22, and we'll start there, but I'll go to 23. He says, "Let us draw near with a true heart, in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised." And that's the verse I'd like to talk about, because it's rich. There's a lot of little pieces to this. First off, the invitation is, as the writer says, let us. Who are the us? Believers, okay? The body of Christ. Or could be like a church gathering of the beloveds. Could be two people. But the invitation has been given, and it's also a challenge. Hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering. The interesting thing about this is when we decide that we're going to do this or abide by it, we have to make a quality decision. The profession of your faith is, what are you saying? What are you speaking? Once again, it comes down to words. Now, the King James says profession, but the New King James says confession. So it has to do with our speech. It has to do with the words. What's your profession today? What's your confession today? What is your go-to in any given situation? What are you going to speak? And so that profession may be in a conversation with somebody else about your situation. Could also include prayers that you've prayed. How many have maybe prayed and you're still standing in faith? You maybe haven't seen the manifestation yet. Oh, I see at least one hand. Good, I'm glad I came to the right place today. Oh, thank you, Lord. Okay, now this is really good, because there's a couple little things in here that might be of an encouragement. So let's make an agreement together with the profession of your faith that you're holding on to, so that we as a body can kind of come together and stand together for each other like we should be. We make a quality decision together to stand based on the Word of God as our original prayer to God in faith, because my Bible says that in Christ, it's amen, yes and amen, in Christ. Yes, and so the unsaved don't have that, and more than likely they wouldn't be praying it. But they might cry out in distress, and God would, I mean, he heard our prayer. We weren't believers when we cried out to him to save us. So he does hear the prayers of unsaved, contrary to some preaching I've heard. Oh, God doesn't hear the unsaved. Well, then how did you get saved? You know? Don't cop those. You know, people can get religious and play all kinds of games to be fancy in their messages and all that, but When you hear somebody so blatantly say that God does not hear the prayers of unsaved, my question is, how did he get saved then? You know? I'm not the sharpest knife in the drawer, but I've learned a few things.
And then how did he lead us to salvation? Because he was already working before.
Yes. Yes. So I don't knowingly make an assumption like that. But I did glean some good things out of this. So you make your profession. You make your confession, whether it's in prayer. In a couple testimonies this morning already, you had talked about seeking the Lord for either a way out of a situation or something to help somebody to be of use, of your skills, your talents, your God-given abilities. So once you've laid that out there, it's best to just leave it. Don't try to fix it. And don't let the enemy try to steal it. You've got to hold fast. And we did a rope a few times in times past to illustrate this truth. And I chose not to this time because you're wise now. You hold on to the rope and I can't shake it out of your hands. You know, some of you were here. We've done that a couple times to illustrate. Hold fast. Well, just yesterday, I actually saw a news video of a man who fell almost 1,000 feet. He was an ice climber. And he fell off a very high mountain. I don't know if it was in Wyoming or Colorado, but he was ice climbing. And he fell. And you know what saved him? He was holding onto that rope for everything that was in him to save his life. So if you take that same principle, what are you standing on when you make a profession of your faith? Are you so, do you give up quick? Or do you panic? Do you get into fear? Do you get into worry? Do you start changing your confession? Do you start doing all kinds of things that are going to actually work against you? Or do you simply hold fast? See, there's a principle about once you've made a profession of faith, you don't need to fix it. You don't need to change it. And it doesn't matter how long a span of time goes by. God's already starting to work on your behalf. So that's why it says without wavering. Because as soon as you waver, God says, I can't believe they did that. They stood for 6 months. And I'm doing this and I'm doing that and I'm bringing all of these things together for you. And now you go and screw it up. Don't you trust me? Don't you believe me? Why did you call upon me? Why did you make that confession? And then right in the middle of everything, and just as I'm working on it, you change the battle plan. This is a real stern, I don't want to say warning, but a real strong principle of once you've made your stand, you know, some other things. Let us, all right, we talked about that, hold fast, persistent or consistent, not willing to compromise or let go of, keep possession of, and to maintain. To maintain means you've said it, now stand on it. The profession, something we spoke or prayed on behalf of others or ourselves. And just a couple examples, salvation, healing, deliverance, any number of issues that it promoted us to call upon the Lord to begin with. You can call a lot of people. And before the day is out, five of them might be changing what you said. So you want to call on the right one. Don't go to people that waver. Because it won't be long and they'll waver in place of you. They'll say, wow, we've been watching for a week and nothing happened. That must not have been a good prayer. Quack, 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 quack. Don't do that.
Can I add one more thing? Because
if it's relevant to this, because it's being recorded. So
something that God gave me the other day, and it's actually, it goes right along with this. It's Romans chapter 4, verse 18. Out of the Amplified Classic, it says, for Abraham, human reason for hope being gone, hoped on in faith that he should become the father of many nations, as he had been promised.
Yes.
And how many years did he wait?
Pretty a long time.
Yes, we did. Yeah.
Yeah.
So it fits right in there.
Yeah, those are good examples. And without wavering. That's an interesting word, to waver. So I wrote a few. To fluctuate. That means, the first time I said it, probably God didn't understand. So we try to bring it into a more presentable presentation. So we pray again, and we change the words.
We'll get a few more people to pray.
Yes.
To try to gang up on God.
Yes, thank you. That's right.
You were probably going there.
Well, I might have, but now I will. It's like sometimes when people do that, it's almost like, well, God didn't hear me. He was too busy. He was taking care of terrorists in Yemen someplace. It talks about to be unsettled in opinion. That's really important. After you pray, do you have peace? Unsettled in your opinion about what you did. To vacillate. Start wandering. Start straying. To be in doubt. You know, Jesus often chastised his beloveds for their doubt and unbelief. And I often wondered, what's the difference between doubt and unbelief? Well, actually, it's quite simple if you think about it. Both of you see the evidence. You see the truth. But if you doubt it, there's still an opportunity that you'll come on the believing side from doubt. But once you've seen the evidence and your heart is set on disbelief, you've doomed yourself. So doubt, there's still an opportunity to change and come back to the right, make the right choice. But if you see the evidence and then you refute it and say, I'm just not believing that, then you've really kind of stopped God from moving, because if you've come to that place where I guess it's not happening, I guess he's not going to hear me, and that might take a long time, and people can get really, really discouraged. We got to be in it for the long haul, however long it takes, and to not change. And wavering, James... Beautiful James. James, there's only 5 chapters of James, but oh my gosh, there's such a wealth of incredible wisdom from this man. The danger of wavering. And so I'm just going to read it from chapter 1, verses 6 through 8. And he was talking about the person who lacks wisdom, let him ask of God and then act on it. But let him ask in faith. That's number one. If you're going to begin the process of expecting, there has to be an expectancy on our part. Let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. So we see that word wavering again. For he that wavers is like a wave of the sea driven with the wind and tossed. And have you ever been to the coast? And a storm in the ocean is very stormy, and the waves are just coming in and crashing, but there's a wind with them, and it's blowing foam and spray off the top of the waves. Well, that's like a picture of the person who wavers. You're not settled. Everything is just like this. Turmoil. For he that waves is like a wave of the sea driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think he will receive anything of the Lord. Now, I didn't say that. I vocalized it. But God said it through James. And that's why this is such an important truth. And it has to do with our prayer life. It has to do with a lot of issues of life. And we're called upon always to be making decisions, making choices. And oftentimes, they affect other people's lives. We intermingle with others, and God puts the person on your heart and to pray for them. Whether you see with these things, don't be moved by that. You can't be, because they're deceptive. Not everything is as it appears to be, is it? We all have learned that. But to take your stand and don't move. What are you believing God for? What are you trusting Him for? And are you willing to stand as long as it takes, contrary to popular opinion? Oh, there's always a group of people that will gather, well, I guess you didn't pray according to God's will. You know, that's a Debbie Downer right there. You know, I don't care for that kind of response. When I release my faith in a prayer, I'm not changing it. There's no need to. I dig in. Maybe left-handed people do that more. I really don't know. But when it's gone out of my mouth, I'm standing. And you're not going to talk me out of it. How dare you talk me out of my prayer? But see, you have enough doubters in your family already. You don't need their help. You need to stand for you. Don't go down this road. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. And that's how the end of the matter is. If you get off into wishy-washy, that's going to reflect a flaw in your character of being unstable, and people that will be reluctant to put their trust in you, or if they ask you to pray for them and they trust you to pray for them and you start wavering to that person, you're very unsettled, and they maybe made a mistake in asking you to pray for them. So really consider that. And He, God, who promised, is faithful. That was the little parenthesis of that verse. That's a really important part, especially if you've based your prayer on His word. Psalm 119, 89, and 90 says, "Forever, O Lord, Your word is settled in heaven." It's established. It's not changing. And we are created in His likeness. So Your word is established. Once you speak it, once it's gone out of your mouth, it's established. It's settled. Don't try to take it back. Don't try to change it. Your faithfulness is unto all generations. So you're never going to run out of time for God to respond. So don't get antsy pants and get anxious and wonder if He heard you. I know He's old, but He's certainly not deaf. That's why He's called Ancient of Days, isn't it? He's been around for generations. He is the beginning. People that are looking for the beginning, He is the beginning. And then, of course, one of my favorite ones comes from 1 John. He has a lot of insight, too, about the Holy Spirit and being born again. John had a marvelous series of revelations that he writes like no other writer. He says, and this is the confidence. When I think of confidence, I think of boldness, assuredness, because the word assure is mentioned in Hebrews, let us draw near with a true heart, a full assurance of your faith. Will your faith work? Of course it will. People, even non-believers, function in faith. They put that funny thing in their car called a key. And they expect their car to just go when they turn the key. So we should be able to put our key into the things that unlock the things of the kingdom, because Jesus said, fear not, little flock, for I've given you the kingdom. We're kingdom people. So John said, we have the confidence that we have in him. So you could say, and this is the confidence I have in him. Don't blame it on somebody else. That I have in him. That if I shall ask anything according to his will. Oh, a little explanation there. Find scripture that line up with your situation. I seem to remember that John was quoting Jesus and that he would send us a helper when Jesus knew that his time was getting near the end of his earthly ministry, and he brought his disciples. He knew that the day was coming when he was going to have to tell them about how his life was going to end. And he told them, don't worry about it, because the helper can't come, or the comforter cannot come unless I go away. But I will not leave you comfortless. I will not leave you helpless. I will send him to you. Do you have him? If you do, then you can be like Alfred E. Newman. What? Worry? Me worry? That if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. That's present tense. Even though this was written, I don't know how many years ago, but it's still in the present. He hears us. And if we know that he hears us, I put that in red in my notes. If we know. Whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of him. That's a very brief verse of scripture. But my gosh, it is just rich with spiritual truths that are going to be so helpful to us in our time of need. I liked Kelly's testimony this morning in that regard too, that here you're stranded, you're stuck, and there's nobody around. It's funny how we tend to try to fix stuff. We call upon the Lord, and then we tend to be fixers. We try to fix stuff, and we try to do all we know to do. And sometimes it doesn't take very long to find out that I can't do what needs to be done. Ever been there? And so then we just pick up where we left off. We go back to our confession of faith, and we say, well, that didn't work out too well. I think I'll go back with God and stand there. And it's amazing when you release it with the simplicity of a little child. I mean, even little babies know who mom is. They just know these things. We're babes in Christ compared to eternity. It doesn't matter how long we live. But to have that simplicity of faith. And Jesus talked about how important that is. But as we grow in knowledge and wisdom and understanding, it seems like the tendency is to make it more complicated than it needs to be. That's why the word of faith is so simple. It cuts right through all that stuff. We don't put a religious spin on it. Don't try to dress it up. Don't try to change it. Don't try to read stuff into it and put some doubt and unbelief in there. That's the devil's Christmas turkey. Sowing it with a little doubt and a little unbelief and wreck your prayer life. When you make your faith stand, stand. And that's the end of that. I'm finished. Yay. Yes, John.
Can I tag team with you just for about 2 minutes?
Oh, I don't know why not.
Can I use the mic? So
yes, yes.
Oh,
this one. Use this one. It'd be easier.
Well, I've just been kind of bursting as you've been talking.
You burst?
Yeah, inside. I feel like God wants to, you felt like an energy
yes.
coming in here, and mm-hmm. I just really feel like God wants to release something in us. We don't need more faith, right? Because
we have
his faith, mm-hmm. but he wants to open up that valve. And
Well, what I was just hearing, the reason I was just like, I hope he lets me, I knew you would, but you know how...
I'm a pushover.
You know how the word says there's worldly repentance and then there's godly repentance, mm-hmm. right? Worldly repentance, does that do us any good? No, we just feel sorry for ourselves, but godly repentance releases God's power in our life, right? But what I was hearing is there is worldly hope, right? And worldly hope is, well, I hope it doesn't rain today, right? It has no power. It's just I'm going to go by my senses, and my hope is either going to be fulfilled or not. Isn't that right? I hope I have a good day, right? Mm-hmm. That's not biblical hope. Biblical hope is confident expectation. Okay, so when the Bible says that God is the God of all hope, he's not just saying, well, I hope you get your act together, right? He has confident expectation that he can perform what he said he will do, right? And what I felt like what we need to do is repent of worldly hope. Because so many times we say, well, I hope God answers this prayer, right? He's not going to. Because that isn't a prayer of faith. He didn't even hear it. I mean, I'm not trying to be too harsh here, but do you understand? That's not his, we just heard this sermon. That's not his language. He doesn't speak unbelief. He speaks faith, right? And so what we need to repent of is that whole thing of, well, I prayed, and like you were saying, my eyes didn't see a change. Well, I hope I'm going to have to go back, right? And that's worldly hope. And we're all steeped in it. That's our culture. That's our upbringing and everything else. But that's not who we are in our spirit. And so I could go on for about an hour, and I'm going to stop right now. But can we pray that? Yeah. We're going to just repent, right? And what repenting means is change your thinking. Change your mind. That's all God's asking us to do, is to change our mind. And so, Father, right now we thank you that your spirit is here, and you are just so confident. You are so happy and you love us so much. And we thank you, Lord, that you're the God that helps us renew our minds. So right now, Lord, we look at those places in our lives. We just even bring up prayers where we've just said this. Well, I hope God answers this prayer. I hope this happens. I hope this person's healed. I hope. And Lord, we just confess that now, Father. We turn away from that. That's unbelief. And we just turn away from it. And we thank you that the blood of Jesus just washes us clean, that we are as clean as a newborn baby right now. We thank you for that. And instead, Lord, we lay hold of biblical hope. Mm-hmm. And Lord, I just believe that's in the room right now, that there's an anointing of biblical hope here. And we receive it. We just hold our hands out and we say, Lord, I receive the God of all hope. I receive your hope right now. And everything that Pastor Rick, everything that he was praying is just your promise. Over and over and over and over again, you've said it. And we just receive it right now, like a little child. We receive it. And when you say it, we'll just say it. Father, if you've said it, can you say it with me? Father, if you've said it, you're going to perform it.
You're going to perform it.
I will not live by my senses.
I will not live by my senses.
I'm going to live by your word. I'm
going to live by your word.
Amen.
Amen.
Thank you.
Thank you. The simplicity is, God said it, I believe it, and that settles it.